Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. 9,278. That's the number of people experiencing homelessness in Sacramento County, according to the most recent point-in-time count. And that's a conservative estimate. It's a crisis which has worsened in recent years, exacerbated by the pandemic and rising costs, leading to more people living and dying on our streets and mounting frustration from residents and businesses. Out of that frustration came Measure O in Sacramento, an ordinance on the city's ballot which would compel city officials to clear homeless encampments and increase shelter space. But even if this passes, this measure is contingent on the city being able to scale up shelter space and reaching a legally binding agreement with the county, which has long been a challenge. Today, we're going to hear from the most outspoken voices for and against Measure O. We begin with Daniel Conway, chair of the Yes on O campaign. So you are leading the charge on the Yes on Measure O campaign. You are with the organization Sacramentans for Safe and Clean Streets and Parks. How would Measure O change how the city addresses homelessness?
Really, Measure O was created in response to the crisis that we're seeing throughout our community. Every day we see people living on the streets who are victims of violence, and we see people in every corner of our community who, again, are feeling the effects of that. People no longer feel safe walking their dog. They no longer feel safe taking their kids to school, things that we long took for granted. And so what Measure O does for the first time is it gives our city a scalable and urgent approach to addressing this crisis. Namely, what it requires is the city to increase its shelter capacity by about 50%, and it requires the city to do outreach to the unhoused members of our community, letting them know that shelter space is available. And then lastly, it requires the city to maintain public spaces in the same way that a private property owner has to maintain private property, basically.
There is an enforcement component to it. What does that look like if this passes?
Yeah, so this enforcement model is based on what we've seen in other cities like Los Angeles and San Diego, where it's kind of a high-touch retail approach. And we're already starting to see the city adopt it now. But essentially what you do is you provide notice to folks who are living unhoused to say that we're going to be, cleaning and repairing this part of the sidewalk, this part of the park. You give them a set time limit, whether it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, where they have noticed that this will be occurring. And during that time, basically, you'll have outreach and service providers there to let them know what their options are. You know, if they're veterans, there's one pathway there. If they're former foster youth, there might be another pathway there. And so you use that time to really find them pathways forward. And then when that date comes, folks are then asked to move their things, and the city's able to kind of clean and repair those spaces.
The measure is being funded in large parts by the business community, even has some connections to the Sacramento Kings. There is an overarching, heavy-handed criticism of Measure O that I want to give you the opportunity to respond to, because it's brought up time and time again. And that essentially that it favors the wealthy at the expense of some of the most vulnerable, and is essentially an out-of-sight, out-of-mind approach, moving people without providing adequate services to lift them out of homelessness. How do you respond to that?
I mean, I think that's kind of a knee-jerk mischaracterization of what the proposal actually is. I think, like I said, what this does for the first time is it requires the city to provide shelter space. It requires the city to do outreach. I think for too long, what we've seen is we've witnessed the city and the county, frankly, move people from place to place, whether it was the parkway or, you know, downtown. And that has done nothing to solve this crisis. It's only exacerbated it. So for the first time, there's a legally required mandate for the city to provide shelter at scale, do outreach the right way. And this, again, is a model that we've seen work in LA and other large cities in California. So to the extent that you've heard criticism of it, I think it's really just people who are trying to validate the status quo in a lot of ways, which is troubling. But I think we've all seen every corner of this community, from Land Park to East Sac to Del Paso Heights and South Sacramento. This is a crisis for everyone. It's a failure for everyone, whether you're unhoused or housed. The point is that this is a time where, in an absence of leadership, in an absence of strategy, in an absence of sense of urgency, you saw members of the community, business, labor, public safety, community groups, and others come together with a plan to say, enough is enough. We need to lead. We need to do something different. And this is a meaningful first step in that direction.
When crafting this measure, did you and supporters involve the in-house community or their advocates into the conversation?
Yes, so that's a great question. And we did. Really, I think to give it even more context, the legal and policy framework that we have here in Measure O was based on a lawsuit that I worked on in Los Angeles called the LA Alliance for Human Rights versus the City and County of Los Angeles. And that lawsuit, in fact, was based on a lawsuit out of Orange County called the Orange County Catholic Worker case that was brought by a group of legal aid organizations against the city of Santa Ana and Orange County. My point is that throughout that process, there has been input from unhoused people, formerly unhoused people, service providers. And so this is, again, something where this model where it, again, you're giving people notice. You're letting folks know we're not saying you need to leave today. We're saying you have several weeks to kind of make a choice about where you want to go. And during that time frame, we are going to do our best to offer you options so that people do have a place to go. I think one comment that I've heard from city leadership that I find troubling is that they talk about this proposal like it is the end all be all to homelessness. And what I've had to point out to some of our elected leaders on several occasions is that, you know, they meet every Tuesday night, and every Tuesday they have an opportunity to go above and beyond what's in Measure O. And so I do think that Measure O was meant to kind of raise the floor, not create a ceiling in terms of how we approach homelessness in Sacramento. And so, again, I hope that our leaders take that signal. They take the sense of urgency and the sense of exasperation that they're hearing from both unhoused and housed members of our community. And they take this opportunity to really move Sacramento forward.
A component of Measure O would also create an avenue for residents to take legal action against the city over encampments, even recover costs, attorney fees, things like that, if the city is ordered to clear a property. Councilmember Valenzuela, who is one of the council members who opposes Measure O, is concerned that that would strain the city's financial resources and essentially create cuts in other areas. And she used youth and park services as an example. Is this essentially creating a new city service? And if so, what considerations were made to the cost of Measure O?
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think that's another example where opponents of Measure O are just misstating the facts about the proposal. The remedy that we have here is basically modeled on what private property owners have to do in terms of maintaining their property. So if I own a lot in Sacramento, and if I let the grass grow 5 feet tall, if I let trash pile up, or if I let people start to live there, at some point, code enforcement will come along, they'll tag it, and they'll say, Daniel, you need to do something about this, right? So essentially, we took that same framework and applied it to public property. In the process of doing that and in working with the city manager, we came up with a remedy, essentially, it's an administrative remedy, right? So kind of like a land use dispute or something like that. You don't go to court. You don't go in front of a judge. You basically go in front of a city administrator to basically have this dispute. If there is a dispute about whether a piece of property is public property or not, it's resolved at that level. So we were very conscious of the fact that we did not want to create a mechanism for lawyers to sue the city and make money. This was really about holding the city accountable and, frankly, again, giving them the same responsibilities that a private property owner has.
On the topic of funding, our colleague Chris Nichols at Cap Radio reported the city is facing a projected $40 million shortfall for homeless services, making it difficult for the city to operate existing shelters, let alone even opening new ones. Why wasn't a tax or another funding mechanism rolled into Measure O to support what you and your supporters want to accomplish?
And that is a great question, Vicky. And the short answer is that voters already approved that tax. It was called Measure U, and it was passed, I believe, 4 years ago.
In 2018.
Yeah, and it explicitly had homelessness and homelessness services in the language. And so that was a piece of feedback that we got from the very beginning from voters and members of the community, is that we've already approved the tax mechanism. We just haven't seen the results. And so I think that's the clear-cut answer, is we've already approved the tax. Now we need to see the results. But I would also add two pieces to that, which is currently Governor Newsom has put over $12 billion of new state funding on the table. And he's explicitly talked about the need for encampment reduction, for outreach, for all the things that we're doing here. And at the same time, so I think our city leaders need to be going to Governor Newsom and saying, look, we're ready to create a model. We need funding from you to help make this happen. The last thing I'd say on the funding piece is that I'm confident that if there was proof of concept that the city really could address this at scale, I think there's an opportunity to go back to voters in 2 years or 4 years to ask for an ongoing funding stream. But I think to do it right now, when voters feel like they've already put the money down and not seen the results they were expecting, it would be disingenuous and counterproductive.
So we're talking about shelter. Does Measure O also require mental health services, substance abuse, and other services to help lift people out of homelessness?
So ultimately, those are all part of a comprehensive solution. Measure O is focused on the city of Sacramento and kind of the land use aspect and the public safety aspect of it. What ultimately did happen with Measure O was that it was linked to county action. And so Measure O will take effect once the city and county have an agreement around those sets of services. I'm very optimistic about kind of the path that is taken just based on some of the discussions that have been happening between city and county leadership. I think at this point, what we've accomplished with Measure O is we've put our leaders on notice that the status quo is unacceptable. I've heard from county supervisors and city council members that every meeting they go to, this is the first issue that people bring up, and people are angry, they're frustrated. And so I think we're at a place now where our leaders know there's nowhere to hide. They know that people have high expectations because that's what we need at this point to really address this crisis.
Given that you just said that this measure is contingent on the city and county reaching a deal, and you do have your confidence level is high that that will actually happen in the event this passes. But if it doesn't happen and Measure O is passed, what happens to the measure?
Ultimately, it is linked between an agreement between the city and the county for it to be fully implemented. And I'm very confident that we're moving in that direction just based on private conversations that have happened as recently as this week. Because like I said, I think both our elected and our unelected leaders at the city and the county, they know that this issue is unavoidable. And they know that frankly, our communities, we're done with finger pointing. We're done with rationalizations. We're ready to see this approached the right way. So I'm really confident that we're going to get the right outcome there. I think to the extent that things go off track, I think the reality is that this crisis isn't going anywhere, unfortunately. And so the public pressure and the raised expectations aren't going anywhere. And so I think, you know, sometimes you have to make people uncomfortable to really get them to move. And I mean, what's the phrase? It's like sometimes you have to feel the heat to see the light. And I think that's kind of where we've gotten to with our city and our county leadership.
Going back to August, there was a lawsuit to essentially stop Measure O, and it did fail. It's obviously moved forward and people are going to vote on it. But it argued that it violates the landmark case Martin versus Boise, which ruled there must be available shelter space before an encampment can be cleared. The judge ruled Measure O can move forward, which it has. However, that same judge also said it's unclear if the measure is a violation and could potentially face legal challenges post-election. Are you prepared for that possibility?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we're not surprised given the people who brought that lawsuit. It was fully expected because, frankly, that's what they do. And I think the unfortunate reality is that the efforts to oppose Measure O or the efforts to kind of litigate to prevent its implementation are only protecting the status quo, where over 200 people are dying on our streets every year. So it's a hard thing to rationalize. But the reality is that Measure O was drafted by some of the best lawyers in the state, including the woman who has led the litigation in Los Angeles that's been focused on Boise. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to remember with Boise v. Martin that it's a Ninth Circuit case, not a Supreme Court case. And it's a relatively vaguely written opinion, which is why it's kind of had this chilling effect on cities and counties throughout the West Coast, is because they don't know what to make of it. And so a lot of what we set out to do with both the LA Alliance lawsuit as well as Measure O is to kind of do their homework for them to say, look, there is a workable formula here where you can provide for the needs of the unhoused by doing outreach, providing shelter space, and getting them on a track to services and stability. And at the same time, you can maintain public spaces, because we've gotten to a point, particularly post-COVID, where people don't feel safe in their neighborhood parks. They don't feel safe going downtown. And unfortunately, on a pretty much a daily basis, we see news reports that reinforce those feelings. And so from our perspective, there is a policy and legal framework that works. And while it's not going to change things overnight, it absolutely will put us on a path that's going to be more sustainable and more equitable and more safe for our entire community.
Okay, so if Measure O passes and encampments are reduced or cleared, where do those people go with the existing shelter space that's available?
So a central component of Measure O is to scale up shelter space. And like I said, there will be a 50% increase. The way we created a mechanism there was that we identified a number based on the point in time count, and the city has an obligation to increase shelter capacity at like 20% tranches, basically. So as those beds fill, the city is obliged to then create more shelter space. I think ultimately, this is, again, where we do need to see intervention from the state, not just to kind of fund what we're doing here in Sacramento, but ultimately to kind of create a new framework statewide that will get us there. But I think really Sacramento has an opportunity to lead here, and we need to show that there are models that work so that the state and the governor are comfortable coming through and funding this effort and really showing that this is something that can be done in a way that is humane and comprehensive and addresses the needs of the entire community.
Finally, if Measure O fails, where do you and proponents go from here? What recourses are there?
I think, unfortunately, the reality is that if Measure O fails, the crisis is still present and the need for leadership is still present. And I think we've come up with a framework that really works and makes sense. And so I would fully expect our coalition of business and labor, public safety, community groups to continue this effort and to continue to hold our city and county leaders accountable and continue to try to work collaboratively with them, because this isn't something that's going to go away, unfortunately. And this is something that it's a humanitarian crisis. I mean, you see it on our streets. We're letting the neediest members of our community fend for themselves and too often die because we're just putting our hands up and saying we're doing the best we can do, and it's just not good enough. And so that's why we brought Measure O forward, was because the time has passed. And we need to really take action now in order to not just save lives, but to save our community.
That was my conversation with Daniel Conway, chair of the Yes on Measure O campaign in Sacramento. Up next, we'll hear from the opposition of Measure O, followed by analysis with Cap Radio's Chris Nichols. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.